to quote Psalms 100 for us.
Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Amen.
Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Amen. Thank God. The Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, be thankful unto him and bless his name. Now the heading of the psalm is, Psalms 100 is a psalm of praise. And if you look up the definition of the word praise, that is in the heading, and also down in verse number 4, enter into his courts with praise, you will find that one of the definitions for that word is thanksgiving. So this particular psalm, among several others, is really a thanksgiving psalm, a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, we could write chapters of complaining and murmuring, but how many of us could write a chapter or a paragraph of thanksgiving? Thanksgiving. See, to be able to be thankful, you've got to take a roll call of your blessings. Because it's implied if you are thankful, then you are thankful for something, and you are thankful to someone for that. Amen? But I want to preach just on the simple thought of thanksgiving here this morning. I don't always get leadership to go according to the season or whatever, but I feel impressed to do that because thanksgiving, friend, is not a sideline subject. Thanksgiving, if we were people of gratitude this morning toward God, I mean real gratitude, we would have revival. We would have revival. I'm going to deal with it a little bit later on, but as I begin bringing forth the introduction of our message this morning, I'd like to say that my first statement probably will throw some of you in the ditch, I guess, but I am ashamed at how many would be involved in the most wicked day of the year called Halloween that we just came through. Give great intention to it. Give great time to it. Give great emphasis. Don't bow your heads. We're not praying yet, all right? Give great emphasis to it. Amen. I mean, everybody around you knew you took part in it. Amen. If you'll notice, we went through the whole time. I never even used the word, never even mentioned it. That day is not worth my breath to even mention. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to preach next year, Lord willing, on why Christians do not participate in it. You'll want to hang around if Jesus don't come. I shouldn't have mentioned that. You'll miss the whole month of October next year, amen. But you never know when it's going to come. I said next year. It might come January, might come February, who knows. But here's my point. I don't want to get on that. I'll get to preaching if I ain't careful. Amen. But how many people got involved with that won't hardly even acknowledge Thanksgiving?
Right, that's right.
Now, the world will do that. The world, what I just said, the world will do. The world that's run by the God of this world, they will go all out for Halloween. Amen. They'll go all out for that, make a big canoe over that, but they're trying to do away with Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
Amen. Duh, that right there ought to give you some insight over really who's behind that. Amen. But I think that you know, Thanksgiving should not be done away with. It should not be changed from Thanksgiving to a fall festival. Amen. Or to a winter, some kind of winter celebration. Leave the name as it is. They're already trying to do away with Merry Christmas. Amen. Amen. And Happy Holidays is taking its place. Amen. What is that? You say, that's all just small stuff. No, it isn't. It's evidence that our godless nation is trying to take our Christian heritage away from us. Amen. Amen. And God's people, from a lot of the church-going folk, play right into its hand. Amen. Now, I know some of you's already got the poochie lip because I got on your little Casper the Ghost. But amen, it don't bother me a bit. I hate that. I hate that day. I despise it. Amen. There's not one Christian theme or subject associated to it. And if I don't go on, I'm going to get on that and preach it today. Amen. But let me go on to say, many will have a Christmas list of what they would like to have, what they want. But how many of us have wrote down a Thanksgiving list? Huh? I wonder how many of us, you know, amen, what we want, is it got a stronger hold on us than what we've already got? Huh? A Thanksgiving list would be good to incorporate in our life. Amen? But I've noticed that Thanksgiving is all but is getting passed over. I've never noticed it as much as I've noticed it this year. We went straight from, not correction, no we in there. Folks, people have went straight from Halloween to Christmas. I've never seen that before, as evident as this year. I'm talking about almost immediately, people's got their trees up. People's already, I mean, stores has already got the Christmas things out. I mean, already. Just like that we're trying to do away with Thanksgiving. And I'll tell you why I believe that is. Thanksgiving Day is a distinctive holiday. It is a distinctive holiday in the fact that it is not a day that commemorates a battle. It does not commemorate somebody's birthday. It does not commemorate somebody or something's anniversary. It is simply a day that was set aside by the leaders of our country in 1789, George Washington specifically, and the Congress. And I'm going to read some of that in just a moment. But it is a specific day set aside where our nation acknowledges God. And thank Him for His goodness to us. And thank Him for His blessings upon our life. Amen. Isn't that the truth? Let me read you just a little bit of what George Washington said when he proclaimed the very first Thanksgiving. In 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. And I'm just going to read just a small part of it. Okay? And here's what it says. By the President of the United States of America, a proclamation, whereas it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. I'm just reading a part of it. Do you hear that? That right there will preach. Our president said that we are to, all nations are to acknowledge the providence of the Almighty, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. If that'll help a nation, that'll help a church, amen. Goes on to say on down, whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me, that is the President, to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next to be devoted by the people of the United States to the service of the great and glorious being who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be.
Amen.
What about that? And that's just some little excerpts of that he declared that day. And there's a lot we could say about Thanksgiving. I wrote these down. This is not the message, but I wrote these down that enemies of Thanksgiving. enemies of thanksgiving. I'll just mention them quickly because I may deal with them this week on Tuesday night maybe. Forgetfulness. Enemy of thanksgiving. Forgetfulness. Familiarity is an enemy of thankfulness. Faithlessness. When your spiritual life and your faith is not in control. Feigning is an enemy of thankfulness. Amen. Your flesh. Fears. Friend and fellowship with the world is an enemy of thankfulness. Formality is an enemy of thankfulness. Amen? You don't think formality is being formal? We can become mechanical and no machine will ever thank God. No machine will ever be appreciative of anything. Amen? We can become mechanical doing what's expected of us without heart. Thanksgiving is a matter of the heart, not of habits. But here's what I want to deal with in Psalms 100 today. First of all, I'm just going to break down some things out of these five verses about thanksgiving. This is a psalm of thanksgiving. The first thing, Brother Robert, I'd like to point out this morning, number one, is the candidates of thanksgiving. Who are the candidates? There's in this chapter, there's a general statement given as to who the candidates ought to be. And then there's a specific. My friend, there's a specific identity of who the candidates are to be. Well, who's the general? First of all, he gives us the general candidates in verse 1. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Here it comes. All ye lands. Did you notice that? That's right. Amen. And then the last part of verse 5, he talks about to all generations. So generally, the candidates of thanksgiving is everybody. Everybody. All ye lands with an S. All ye lands. I wonder if other countries are following our example or are we following their example? Amen. No doubt about it. America's as sick as it is, still the greatest country on planet Earth, but we're a far cry from where we used to be. No doubt, America is the envy of all the other countries. Why is it that so many of them are trying to get here? Yes, sir. Amen? There's a lot that we can say about that, but I don't want to get on it. But generally, the candidates of thanksgiving is all ye lands or all generations. Did you know, I just found this out yesterday in reading and studying, did you know that according to the information that I read, that there is only three countries on planet Earth that has a Thanksgiving Day? Three! And I think there's like 250 some odd countries in our world. 250, 260 something countries, but only three have got a set aside Thanksgiving Day. And that would be America, the good old USA, Canada, and the Philippines. What about that? Does not God deserve thanksgiving from all the lands? And I guess that's one of the things that no doubt makes the future look bright. Praise God when that millennial kingdom comes in. Amen. Jesus is going to be sitting upon the throne of His father David and ruling and reigning upon this earth, amen, for 1,000 years. And guess what? All nations and all lands will be giving Him praise and glory. Yes, sir. But in the chapter, there's not just a general description of who these candidates are, all ye lands and all generations, but it gets specific. There is the specific given. Look, if you will, in verse number 3. Know ye not that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. Here we go with the specific. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Amen. So who is it in this chapter that really are going to be the candidates for revival or for thanksgiving? God's people. If God's people are not thankful, then who is going to be? The heathen are not. They don't even know God. They will worship four-footed beasts and creeping things. They will worship birds and the moon and stars. They will worship totem poles and carved out pieces of wood and stone. They're not going to thank God. They're not going to praise God. If God's people are not going to, then who is? Amen. And boy, I want to tell you, we're way behind on our Thanksgiving. In fact, Thanksgiving for most is just a one day a year deal. Amen. And if you took turkey out of that and dressing out of that, they wouldn't even have that day. Amen. That's right. God help us to, as God's people, to be appreciative, to be grateful for what God has done in our life. So not only we see the candidates, I got to hurry. Number two, you with me? Number two, not only the candidates of Thanksgiving, my friend, generally and specifically, but also, here we go, number two, the closeness of Thanksgiving. The closeness of Thanksgiving. Look what the Bible says in verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Note the emphasis, Brother Chuck, of come before His presence.
Amen.
Amen. Thanksgiving is not just what you do in His presence. It's what you do to get in His presence.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, there's an inseparable connection, my friend, between thankfulness and closeness.
Amen.
They will try to get you unthankful, he's really trying to get you distant.
That's right.
Amen. That's exactly right. You see it in even our country. Our country used to be more about thanking God than it is now. But you can see the pull of the devil to get our country away from God and the Bible and the founding roots of our country. Why? Because distance does away with thankfulness. Amen. Distance will never be thankful. And by the way, I could ask, and no need to do it, it's a given, it's just an understood thing. I could ask this side right here, how many of you can say thankful, thanks, thanksgiving, thankfulness, thanks, any of those words, everybody on this side right here could say them. Everybody on that side could say them. If I said say this word, you could say it. But there's a big difference of saying it and being it. Are you listening? Distance will never say, thank you, Lord, with any meaning. They could say it with words, but that's all it'll be. Amen. Peter, the Bible said about Peter that he followed afar off. Do you think Peter, when he was following afar off, when they had come and arrested Jesus and was taking him away, do you think as Peter was following afar off that he was thankful? No, he was fearful. And most people, my friend, will never be thankful because they're fearful.
Yes, right.
Thanksgiving, the voice of thanksgiving, the voice of intimacy is gone from our services. Why? We're afraid of the economy. We're afraid of where we're going. Let me let you on a little truth. They can take your home. But they can't take heaven away from you. They can take your silver and your gold, but they can't take your salvation or your God away. Amen. We don't know what we're going to face economically, and I don't want to get on that. This is depressing. But I want to tell you what, dear friend, the whole motive behind that is to get people so full of fear and doubt and faithlessness that we lose that intimacy with Jesus. Closeness. Come before His presence. I want to ask you something this morning. How long has it been since you've been in the presence of God? Let me break that down. How long has it been you've been in the presence of God privately? Nobody around to impress, nobody around to see you, nobody around to notice, nobody around to hear you, but just you and God, you got in His presence. I'm talking about the closeness, buddy, of Thanksgiving. When you get close, You don't have to say, okay, now I'm close. All right, now then, it's time for me to be thankful. No, it will be the automatic overflow. When you get close, thanksgiving comes out. Amen. How can you get in the lap of the one, my friend, that's blessed you and been good to you without saying, thank you, Jesus? Oh, I'm talking about the closeness of thanksgiving. During this thanksgiving, you remember what I said the other day? And we've seen it here, and I've seen it in our life. Brother, thanks from Thanksgiving all the way through till the new year's over, it's just a good space of opportunity to get backslid. Amen? And those two things are worthy of our attention, thankfulness and the birth of Christ. Amen? But why is it that many churches go as low as they have all year long? Why? I believe it's because people get so focused on things, that sideline subjects, things that have nothing to do with God. Absolutely. And we get so worried about what we're going to buy and who we're going to get this for and where we're going to get the money. We spend money we don't have to buy things people don't need for people that we don't even like. Amen. And they're going to take it back, get a refund, and go eat on your money. Well, they sent me a card. I've got to send them one. Are you listening? And we get so preoccupied with extras. Just boil it down. Here's what it is. The spirit of the world gets on us. The spirit of the world gets on us, my friend. Amen. Sure it is. And we lose that closeness. Amen. You can be close to God and not even have a turkey to eat Thursday. You can be close to God, my friend, in December and not even have a tree. I'm just saying, buddy, God is the main subject. You say, preacher, you're preaching against everything. No, I'm preaching for Him. I'm telling you, He's the emphasis. He's the one that we should desire closeness to.
That's right.
Amen. Well, maybe it'll get better. There's the candidates of thanksgiving. There's the closeness of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is to be done in His presence. Amen. That's what the Bible says. Come before His presence with singing. And that brings us to our third thought. Not only the candidates of thanksgiving, the closeness of thanksgiving, but then there's the celebration of thanksgiving. The celebration of thanksgiving. Amen. Both the words, verse 1, joyful. That right there goes cross grain with the average church going individual. Joyful.
That's right.
Be more like miserable, not joyful. Make a joyful noise. And by the way, I just thought I'd point this out. I went back and studied it, Brother Mark, just to make sure I was right. And I'm right that all of the commands down through here, make, serve, come. Verse 3, know ye. Verse 4, enter. Verse number 4, be thankful. Verse number 4, bless His name. Are all commands. All of them's in the imperative mood, which suggests a command or order. Amen? In other words, God's saying you need to do this. Do this. Amen? But look at the words. I'm talking about celebration. How long has it been since you, celebrated the things of God? Privately, publicly, personally. How long has it been since you had you knew in your heart that you had gotten His presence and you would celebrate. And by the way, you can notice that verse hooks up His presence with our celebration. That closeness with our celebration. Amen. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Amen. Amen. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, in His courts with praise. Amen. Be thankful on them. Bless His name. Oh, there ought to be a celebration. There ought to be a celebration. I'm not talking about wildfire this morning. Amen. I'm talking about real worship. There ought to be celebration. There ought to be a joyful noise that comes from God's people. Amen. A joyful noise. You may not can sing. You may not can preach. You may not can teach. You may not can do a number of other things. But everybody in here can make a noise. God don't want us to make a noise. He wants us to make a joyful noise. A noise that comes out of your joy. Amen. The celebration of thanksgiving. Amen. The joyful noise. Gladness. Is that a description of you this morning? Gladness? Serving the Lord with gladness? Huh? Come on now. Sadness offers no thankfulness. Gloom and gladness never go together. Out of just those two words, which would describe you this morning, gloom or gladness? Are you listening? Bitterness, murmuring, complaining, and the such like all occupy an unthankful heart. You cannot be whining and worshiping at the same time. You can't be pouting and praising at the same time. Amen. Amen. God help us. Well, it's time God's people quit letting what's going on around us and the circumstances influence our life. Amen. God help us, Jesus. God ain't broke. Come on now, amen.
That's right, amen.
So I preach, I'm not shouting, I'm not smiling, and all the other things that could be added to that because my job is shaky. What is your job? You're Jesus?
Lord,
are you serving the God of mammon?
That's right.
Is that your master?
Come on.
Huh? Amen. Oh, God has proven Himself in the Word of God that He can take care of us. Sure He can. Amen. That's right. Amen. Where's your focus at this morning? God or government? Job or Jesus?
That's good.
Our celebration of Thanksgiving. You don't have to tell people to be thankful. If they, listen, are celebrating and have a thankful heart, there will be joyful gladness. There will be blessing. There'll be thanksgiving. There'll be praise in their heart. Celebration. Amen. Amen. A thankfulness. I wonder how many people in your heart, if we could open your heart spiritually, could we reach in and pull out 10 things that really in your heart you're thankful for? Not that you mentally could come up. We could come up, I could give you a list just like that. I mean, I could start physically and just go through your physical body, things you ought to be thankful for. But is it really in here? I mean, we could start not only physically, we could go through a financial list. You know, then we could go through a material list. I don't think too many people walk to church this morning. Me and Brother Robert was talking about how people were talking about, boy, they like the good old days. I kind of like driving a car instead of walking, amen? That's right. Keep your horse and buggies, amen? Pray for me. I'll drive my car. That's right. So I could go through a list materially. We could go through a list, I mean, listen, domestically. Our wife, amen, our mate, our children. We could go through a list. I mean, we could go through a list and how many other categories we could, nationally. We could go through a list nationally. Praise God for freedom. Praise God, we didn't have to come to church this morning, Brother Jeremy, under the threat of our life. Somebody holding a gun tells us you either deny or die. And then, of course, we could step out of all of those small areas into the great big area spiritually. We could go through a list spiritually. Thank God for our Bible. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the saints of God, the household of faith. Thank God for, there's an endless list in the spiritual realm that we could praise Him for. But my question is, not being able to mentally come up with some names and some items, but what is in our heart to thank Him for?
Amen.
Amen. Celebration. Number four, I got to turn. Number four. Look in verse number four. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Notice this. Be. Let me see that word be. Be thankful. unto Him and bless His name. So number four, we not only notice the candidates, closeness, celebration, but number four is the character. Did you know that Thanksgiving ought to be your character? And I get that from the word be. Be identifies what you are. Amen? Thankful comes out of what you are. God wants us to not do Thanksgiving. He wants us to be thankful. Amen? There's a difference. We're missing this, I'm afraid. It did not say do, it said be. Thanksgiving comes out of what you are more than what you do. Amen? Talk is cheap. How many knows that? Talk is cheap. Anyone can say the words that I mentioned earlier. Thanks, thankfulness, thanksgiving, and so on. But it's a whole other subject to live it and be it. This generation has heard much more than they have seen. Amen? Thus they have little to no confidence in church nor the things of God. How many people have made declarations of thanksgiving only to match it up with inconsistency? Amen. And when that comes in, confidence goes out. Amen. The thanksgiving of our lips should be preceded and supported by the thanksgiving of our lives. Thanksgiving is best felt, best expressed as thanks living. Amen. Thanksgiving is not what you do. Thanksgiving is what you are. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Thanksgiving is both an experience and an expression. It is more than talk. It is your walk. And I believe this. Thanksgiving is a condition. It's not a circumstance. Are you still with me this morning?
Amen.
Thanksgiving is not a circumstance. Thanksgiving is a condition. Condition you are in.
Amen.
Be thankful. Be identifies what you are. Amen? Be thankful. God help us. It's a condition. And boy, that right there could be preached. You could go to Ephesians and Colossians and 1 Thessalonians and all those places and different other places that deals with thankfulness and thanksgiving and all of that. And look what it links up with. Like Ephesians 5, it hooks you up with being filled with the Spirit. Huh? Amen? Right in the context of those that are filled with the Holy Spirit, which is the condition you're in, are those that is giving thanks to God always for all things. Huh? So, listen, thankfulness is a condition. Amen? That's why our churches are silent with the voice and the heart of thanksgiving, the condition people are in. And I'm not on no high horse up here, and I'm not no spiritual giant. I have struggles just like you do. But I'm going to tell you, dear friend, if you're going to be spiritual in this day, it's going to be on purpose. If you're spiritual today, with all the allurements and with all the attractions and with all the sin that's around us everywhere you look, my friend, if you are spiritual and thankful, I'm going to tell you, it's going to be on purpose. It's going to be a matter of choice. Amen. Sure it will. I mean, the pressure all the time on me, constantly, to pull me down from a level of spirituality. Amen. To come before His presence means I've got to get from where I am to where He is. Thankfulness. Amen. The character of thankfulness. It's a condition. Amen. Being thankful to God is the automatic overflow of the Spirit of God's control of your life. Jesus said when He has come, He'll glorify me. Jesus said when He has come, when the Spirit of God has come, when He has come, He'll glorify me. When you let the Spirit of God have control of your life, guess what? He's going to make Jesus big to you. And whether Jesus is big to you or not tells me if the Spirit of God's in control of you or not. Amen? I don't understand it. There's a lot I don't understand. But I don't understand that the multitudes of people scattered all over everywhere that my friend claimed to know God, but Jesus don't never seem to get big to them. I don't have an explanation for that. All I know is there's a problem right there of some sort. I know we all go through times of slumps, and sometimes we get distant and cold and all that, and it's a battle to stay on fire with God, fire for God, amen. It's not a battle to stay saved. That's not a staying issue.
Amen.
I'm saved and God did that. Hallelujah. I don't even have my hands on that. I'm just enjoying it. But now to be spiritual, friend, that's a whole different story. Your hands better be on that. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be automatic. How many times have you heard me say that? Your spirituality is your responsibility. Heard that before? Huh? Why is it that so many people in our churches of all ages, my friend, that Jesus never gets big to you? Now, I wasn't in my notes. I wasn't even getting close to that. God's got me on it. Amen. Why didn't Jesus get big to you? How long has it been Jesus got big to you? Huh? You'll never be thankful for a little God.
That's right.
You'll never be appreciative for a little God, because a little God can only give little blessings. Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Hey, where's the bigness of God at in our lives? Never get excited? Listen, I'm going to tell you what. If we could flip-flop this right here, we'd be in the greatest revival that we've ever seen. If we could flip-flop what I'm about to say, if we could take the bigness of the world to young people, flip that around, that same would become the bigness of Jesus, we'd have revival, and I mean that quick.
Amen.
Preachers will live their life and die. Another will come on and live and die. Another come on and live and die, and so on and so forth. Trying to preach to people that God will get big in their life, God will get real in their life, to submit to Him, commit to Him, surrender to Him, love Him, serve Him. My friend, He's your all in all. And my friend, there'll be people that will live and die with Jesus being little in their life. Amen. Sometimes I get to thinking about that, and the thought comes through my mind. The devil puts it there, though. I get to thinking about that, and the devil says, or I get to thinking, what's the use? You're wearing yourself out. You study. You pray. You run your legs off. Wear your vehicle out. Everything trying to preach to people to get God big in their life, and they're not interested. Most people are not interested. Young people are not interested. Now please help me with that. How come that person claimed to be saved is not interested in God getting big in their life? I tell you, when they at least kind of get stirred up a little bit, it's when they're around other people's getting stirred up. Oh yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it so many times. God come through a service, three or four people get excited. Amen. Next thing you know, there'll be three or four get caught up in the vacuum of that, kind of get caught up in the afterdraft of that, and then they'll kind of get emotional too, and then the next service, you can't even tell it. Hey, you know what that is? That is surface spirituality. Say amen right there. Listen, you'll never be thankful on the surface. Amen. Thankfulness is to come from your heart. Thankfulness is a spiritual action. Amen. It's spiritual.
Amen.
That's right. That's good preaching. Amen.
Amen.
God help us. I'm talking about the character. And then number five, I could preach on that some more. And felt like God really wanted to say some things right there. Felt like God did say some things. I just hope somebody heard it. Amen. You're the one to carry the ball whether anybody else is or not. That's right. You ought to want to be spiritual whether anybody else is or not. That brings me to my point number five, is the consistency of thanksgiving. Be thankful. Be thankful fits on Sunday. Be thankful fits on Monday. Be thankful on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. 24/7. Be thankful. You say, preacher, that's what we do when we go to church. Wrong. Bible says we're to enter into His courts with thanksgiving, or enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Notice the term with. We're to come in with it. Amen?
Amen.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. You notice that? Amen? And we're to come in here with it. Thanksgiving in here is just should be a continuation of thanksgiving before you got here.
Amen.
Try this if it don't help you. Get alone this afternoon. You still got your problems. You still got your problems. You still got your problems. Get alone this afternoon. Get in the closet somewhere. Shut the door. And say, God, I'm not going to ask You for nothing. I'm not going to whine about my problems. I'm sick of looking at my problems. I'm sick of talking about my giants. Lord, I want to take these next 30 or 40 minutes to an hour, and I just want to bless Your name. God, You've been good to me. It's not how much money I got. It's the fact I have a God. Amen. And try that and see if it don't do something. Get your mind off of the negative for about 5 minutes. You might be able to worship. Yes, that's right. Come on now. I guarantee if we drop the big screen tonight, put your name up there, and underneath it put all your problems, you'd probably want to testify. Yeah, that's me. Let me explain each one of them. You know why you're so quick to whine? And I am a lot of times. I'm a professional. Brother Jeremy, I'm telling you, I probably won a few trophies in that area. Amen. My wife, it's a wonder she wants to come to church here. She hears it all, amen. All you see is preacher. Sometimes she sees the powder. Amen. That's right. And she's the only one that can preach to me and I can take it. And I don't like it. I don't like it. Amen. I don't know how I got on that. But oh, if we let God get so big to us as our giants and our problems and the negative, we'd be a lot better off. You said, but preacher, how are you supposed to thank God for everything? I got this right here. Let me read this right here to you. If I can see it. Matthew Henry, the famous scholar, was once robbed by thieves. And they took his purse, and he wrote these words in his diary. Let me be thankful. Now, wait a minute. He got robbed. They took his possessions, and he writes in his diary, let me be thankful. He penned down four things he could be thankful for, even in that situation. He said, let me be thankful, first of all, that I never was robbed before. He said, number two, said, I'll be thankful for this, that although they took my purse, they did not take my life. Number three, said, I'll be thankful, although they took my all, it was not much.
Amen.
They took it all, but hey, they didn't take much. And number four, because, he said, I can be thankful because it was I who was robbed and not me doing the robbing.
Amen.
So there's something you can thank the Lord for. Amen. Look for it. You might have to look for it, but you can find it. The consistency of thanksgiving, be thankful unto Him. What goes on inside the church should be the same as what is going on outside the church. Amen. Amen. Don't listen, let me give you a little point right here to consider. We have higher respect for the house of God, this house, than we do this house. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You should never do anything out there with this body that you wouldn't do in here, in this building.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that good preaching right there?
Amen.
I wasn't planning on saying nothing about that. Amen. That's right. That's right. Why does young people, Brother Craig, why do young people want to dress up to look like people that I would not let sing in this church. Come on, you young ladies, young men. Why would you listen to somebody's music that you know good and well? We would not let Sister Paulson play that music on the piano, and we would not let our choir sing those songs. Oh, but preacher, that's the church building. Feel your head going in the guillotine?
Yeah.
That's the church building, preacher. We're supposed to keep it holy. Your body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Why? I wouldn't want to even be identified with that crowd that my pastor wouldn't even call on to pray, or wouldn't ask to sing a special, wouldn't let teach a Sunday school class, or sing in the choir.
Yeah.
Some of y'all would run me off Sunday morning, this Sunday morning, if I had some of the people come here to sing, just carry on our Sunday morning music that you've got CDs of in your car. This church would vote me out, and rightfully so. Does anybody notice how quiet it's getting in here besides me? There's a connection, friend, between purity and thanksgiving, holiness and thankfulness. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How can you be thankful unto a holy God with sin in your life? Woo! Glory! Amen. The consistency. Number six, the commitment. Be thankful unto Him. It's an unto Him thing. It's a commitment. And then seven, last of all, the connection. No, I told you wrong. I've got another wrote down. I wrote it down there a while ago while the choir singing. The connection to thanksgiving is be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen? There's a connection between blessing the Lord and thankfulness. Amen? Thanking. Listen to this. Blessing God is the overflow of thanksgiving. Are we not supposed to bless God?
Amen.
Amen. You see the sign that says, God bless America. I think it's time we change that around and say it's time for America to bless God. Amen. There's a connection between gratitude and glory. If you're grateful to somebody, you're interested in giving God the glory. But yeah, this is the last one. Look in verse number 5. The cause of thanksgiving. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endureth to all generations. Are you listening? I'm talking about the cause. You say, preacher, why should I be thankful? One little statement. For the Lord is good. That word for means because of. Because the Lord's good. Oh, yes, friend, the Lord is good. Take a roll call of His goodness in your life. Amen. Anybody in here that the Lord hadn't been good to you? Anybody in here the Lord hadn't been good to? I want your autograph. You're the first one I've ever met. Would be the first one. But then I would want to get into discussion with you, and I would just about guarantee you I could show you that God's been good to you. Amen. Saved or lost, God's been good to you. Why should we be devoted to Him and give Him thanks and serve Him? Because God's been good to us. God's been good. Listen, God being good to you puts some demands on your life, puts some claims on your life. Amen? God's not just good to you to be doing it. He wants you to praise Him. He wants you to be thankful unto Him. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.